I'm Kim Grinnell of Dogman.com with Scott Eklund and intern Harlan Grady. Is this what, day 13?
12.
Day 12? Mm-hmm. Day 12 of spring football in 2024. And inside the stadium today, weather, a little windy, rain, touch and go. Pretty much a normal, you know, it feels like October out in Husky Stadium, to be honest.
Yeah, it did. I mean, they had a lot of recruits on the sidelines. You know, it was a good day for practice. I thought they got a lot done, even though it was a little wet at times. There were some drops that probably wouldn't have happened normally, but overall, thought it was a pretty good practice.
Yeah, I mean, Harlan, you haven't been inside the stadium down on the field where it's been a little weather sensitive, but, you know, what'd you feel just after practice being down there?
It's definitely chilly. You know, you want to keep all your layers on. You got to, you know, move around and getting rained on. Everybody's wet and cold and want to go home after practice.
And you pulled an intern moment today. Not, you know, I mean, why didn't you have layers on?
I don't need layers. My dad always called me thermonuclear. Always able to stay warm.
Yeah. A lot of scrimmaging today. There wasn't a lot of drills, it seemed like. It seemed like pretty much all day was scrimmaging.
No, very little in the way of position drills. It was almost all scrimmaging. They did do some situational things. They did some things where the offense started at the 20 and just went and did their thing. They also had it where the offense was starting at their own 3, so they had to get out. And then there was where the offense was working in red zone and the defense was trying to stop them. So settled for, I think Grady Gross had either 4 or 5 field goals, something like that. He made all of them that I was aware of. But most of them were either stops by the defense or a touchdown by the offense. And there were some big plays that were missed by the offense because of the I don't even want to call it because of the rain, because it really wasn't that wet.
Not bad,
out.
Yeah.
But you know, Rashid Williams had a huge drop. You get Curly Reed had fallen down in coverage, and it would have been about a 55-yard touchdown connection between him and Damon Williams. He ends up dropping it. I mean it's just a flat out drop. So,
cool. Damon could not have put that ball any more perfectly right in the mm-hmm. bucket, and an impressive throw. I mean, he rolled out, threw it perfect spiral all mm-hmm. the way down the field, 55 yards in the air, and just right through his hands.
Lots of reps for the number one and number two quarterbacks today.
Yeah, well, only 2 scholarship quarterbacks left on the roster after DeMarcus Davis was absent from practice on Wednesday and entered the transfer portal. So lots of reps for DeMond and Will Rogers. We also saw Purcell get in there, the walk-on. He had some reps towards the end. But I thought both the quarterbacks looked good today. They both had good moments and bad moments. One of the key slip-ups for Will Rogers, he had a scramble out to the right in red zone, and he probably would have had a touchdown. Maybe he wouldn't have been down around the 1 or 2, but he just dropped the ball. For no apparent reason, Drew Fowler picked it up, ran back the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, DeMarcus Davis leaving the program into the transfer portal. Kind of surprising, Scott?
Maybe the timing was surprising. I thought he would probably not be here at this time next year, but I thought maybe he'd go through the year with the Huskies, get some coaching. You know, he's already been in school at the University of Washington. Maybe, you know, do fall quarter at Washington and then see how things kind of play out with Damon Williams. Who knows? DeMont, I mean, I don't want to speak negative on anything, you know, knock on wood, but he's 2 injuries away from playing. So I don't know. But he wasn't recruited by the staff. He was recruited and had an offer from Arizona, but DeMond Williams was the guy they really wanted, and that's who they honed in on and got for the class, and then they bring him up here to the University of Washington. I think DeMarcus kind of saw the writing on the wall and decided, I'd rather go into a system that I can be in for a year or two and then maybe challenge for playing time as a redshirt freshman.
The writing on the wall is not hard to read. DeMond Williams is their guy.
Yeah, he is. After this year, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's, if Washington didn't have a guy who had started for 3 or 4 years in the SEC and thrown for 12,000 yards, maybe he's a guy who we look at as a possible starter. But right now, I'd be shocked if Damon Williams is the opening day starter. Now, Kim, when we're sitting up in the stands, you're like, you know, would it surprise you if he starts at all? Well, no, it won't surprise me if he starts at all this year. There, you know, Will Rogers could get injured, but there also could be a situation where they just God forbid, Will Rogers isn't playing well, and maybe they need a spark, and Damon Williams is that guy, and I could see him starting in the second half of the season, definitely. So the opening day starter, barring an injury, the opening day starter for this team is Will Rogers.
You heard Coach Fish asked if he was uncomfortable with only two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster.
He said no. Not at all.
Yeah, just kind of like, yeah, no big deal.
No big deal. And you know,
you only play one at a time.
And somebody asked if they were going to go maybe change their approach to the portal, and he said, no. No, 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 we don't do that. We're always looking for guys that are going to come in and compete. So, you know, I think he said best wishes to Demarcius, but if he's not going to stay and compete, he's not on Fish's radar anymore.
Yeah, they're going to bring in another quarterback. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
I would be shocked if they don't, but I could see a scenario where they don't. But I would be shocked if they don't bring in one. The problem is you have to bring in a guy who's a veteran from another school who is willing to possibly be the third guy on the roster. That isn't going to be easy to find. Most of the guys who are leaving other schools are looking for a place that they can at the very least challenge for playing time.
Yeah, but there again, you know, you've got some guys that may be realistic as well to know their future isn't the NFL, where the academics at University of Washington, the experience is a big deal to them, where they know that they can come in and be an adequate backup. Stranger things have happened.
I agree with you. Stranger things have happened, but I think in today's world, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy to just go out and find a guy to do that.
No, there's no quarterback store, because if there was a quarterback store, there'd be a tight end store, and I think they'd hit the tight end store first.
Or actually, the one that they would be like, it would be like the day after Thanksgiving Day at like 5 in the morning, they would be waiting at would be the offensive line store.
Yeah.
That's the one they'd be waiting at.
Well, the tight end store would be next door, wouldn't it?
Probably, yes.
Jonah Coleman, again, seems to be jumping out every practice.
Yeah,
Is he playing his way into shape?
I don't know about him not being in shape, but he definitely could use losing a little bit of weight. I think he might have just gotten too big. I don't know if he was out of shape, but he might have just gotten a little too big. But the thing is, I mean, he's running hard. He's breaking tackles. He's making plays. And the offensive line is starting to open up some room for him a little bit more, too, as camp has gone along. But the defense, man, every time they want to get a stop, they turn it up a notch, and you can see the difference.
Yeah, and we can talk about it because Coach Fish talked about it post-game. But, you know, Daniel Nada went down, didn't look like anything serious, but he seems to be jumping out every practice as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really strong running back room, and I think everybody's seen that so far this spring. It's just like every single guy you talk about in that running back room, oh, he's having a strong spring. Oh, he's having a strong spring.
And we're not even talking about a guy who could be a starter. I mean, Cam Davis. Yeah. I mean, we're not even talking about a guy who, I mean, I think Jonah Coleman's probably your starter, but Cam Davis has every ability to be a starter for this team.
And every right. Mm-hmm. With his loyalty to the program, I mean, he should see his share of the snaps this year with the first team. And, you know, it was good to see Adam Muhammad out there with the first team today. Obviously, as a true freshman, he'll have to work really hard to get PT in the regular season, but he was out there alternating with Jonah Coleman even on the first series of the day for the ones, and he's just looked fantastic at every opportunity. You know, at end of practice he got popped by Cam Fab and, you know, got right up and kept fighting.
Cam Fab got the better of that one because Adam Muhammad was walking off with stuff in his nose because he had a bloody nose. So it was a pretty good hit.
I'll tell you one thing I've noticed, you know, just talking to the Arizona guys that came here, they did not come for the University of Washington. These guys that have come from Arizona, I mean, they have incredibly solid relationships with the coaches. When you talk about Damond Williams, his relationship with the coaches, and Jonah Coleman and his relationship with Scotty Graham, and just the relationships that they have, it's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's why the biggest thing for these guys in the portal, there's two things that are the biggest things: relationships and money. And
One other thing.
What?
Opportunity.
Opportunity, but if you're following a coach that you know from the school that you were just at, the thing is they're probably telling you, hey, you're my starter if you follow me up here.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question that's going to make you uncomfortable, actually, too. You ready? Mm-hmm. Who's the highest paid player on the team?
I'm pretty sure it's Will Rogers.
Will he stay the highest paid player on the team?
It's going to be close. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I mean, let's just put it this way. They are losing guys, and they're offering guys just as much, if not more, than Will Rogers.
And they're going elsewhere.
They're going elsewhere.
Yeah.
They're going to other teams.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Just anything else jump out at you today?
I'm trying to think just off the top of my head. I thought the defense played really well. Jacob Bandis probably had one of the best practices I've seen him have. He got an interception today. Should have been Javon Parker's, but he got an interception today. Got a tackle for loss. He was kind of really active all over the place. He had one of his better practices that I've noticed. Thought it was Carson Bruner had a pick six. There were some really good plays by Jeremiah Hunter, with one that he caught over his outside shoulder, and just overall, you know, just seeing guys seemingly getting more comfortable, but also getting more. Besides more comfortable, I just think they're starting to make plays, and they're starting to play just a little bit more with a little bit more. They're actually making plays instead of thinking about making plays.
Yeah, it
plays.
Almost looked like this is a scrimmage where they put some new offensive plays in.
Looked like it. Looked like they did, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, they're installing more of the offense, and we saw that today.
I thought also a guy who's had a lot of success, maybe the spring and maybe a little bit quieter, transfer from San Jose State, Brian Parham. He had a great day today. He's flying around. Mm-hmm. He had one particular play where he was in pursuit off the far edge and got to a guy for a TFL, and you know, he's one of those guys who's been working quietly, but he's improving every day, the same as the other guys around this program. But I thought he had a strong day. I really like the way he's built. I think he could be a piece of this linebacking core. You know, one or two guys go down on that other question.
Day three of the NFL draft, busy 3 days for Husky football. Big surprise of the draft, Michael Penix going overall number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. If I told you that Michael was going to be the first Husky to be drafted, what would you have said?
I would have said you're high. Yeah. There's no way. Rome's going before him. But Rome, ironically, Rome went to the next team, the Chicago Bears. Rome's going to be paired with Caleb Williams, so he's going to have to get used to a guy who doesn't throw it as well as Michael Penix. But you know, we'll have to see. But it'll be real interesting to watch how things develop. I mean, Michael, what's going to be real weird is he was the fourth quarterback taken, right? Or fifth?
Right, fourth.
Fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth taken, and he might not. I mean, Bo Nix, who was taken after him, and J.J. McCarthy, who was taken after him, those guys might start before Michael Penix does because he's going into a place with Kirk Cousins, who, is guaranteed $100 million over the next 2 years. So the one thing that's interesting, and somebody brought this up on a radio show I was listening to yesterday on a podcast, and he said, this person said, hey, Michael Penix is going to a place where the quarterback that he is essentially behind, the veteran, isn't going to be able to do mini camps. So they're going to get a firsthand look at Michael Penix throwing in rookie camp and in the regular mini camp, zipping the ball around all of the receivers while Kirk Cousins is sitting on the sidelines rehabbing. So that'll be kind of interesting.
I know just when you look on the surface, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but you've heard me say it a million times, if something doesn't make sense, you're missing something. And I think what people are missing on this is exactly what Atlanta said. They expect to be pretty good over the next couple of years. I mean, it sure sounds like they view Kirk Cousins as a two-year quarterback, and they don't think in the next 2 years they're going to have an opportunity to jump into the top 10 to grab a quarterback. So when you see a quarterback that they feel is elite and they think is special, That's, you know, it's shown with Aaron Rodgers what he can do. It's shown with Jordan Love what he can do. Mm-hmm. So I think they're kind of going after that plan, and it's hard to disagree with that.
No, I mean, they have their reasons and why they did it. I think it just surprised a lot of people from the sense that, you know, because Raheem Morris, he basically said to ESPN when he was being interviewed today that, hey, we have our quarterback for the next 2 years, and we have our quarterback of the future already on the team. And he said, that's why we chose Michael Penix. I know it surprised a lot of people, but it's as simple as that, is what basically the way you said it, Kim, is that we saw a guy that we could mold into someone that we want. The difference being that Michael Penix is 24. He isn't 21. And so most guys at 24 are pretty close to ready to start. So my guess is Kirk Cousins is definitely the starter this year. But next year, I don't think that's 100% given.
Yeah, wait for the offseason trade to Kirk Cousins to the Raiders.
He won't get traded, though. I mean, too much dead money on that.
Yeah, no, so.
And, I mean, you know, if you're a Falcons fan, you've been watching Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke play quarterback for the last, you know, few seasons. So, you know, whatever insurance you got to make sure that's not happening again, you take that every day.
Rome, of course, went to the Chicago, which was a lot of people mocked, but just real interesting with Troy Tanu going to Pittsburgh. It seems like a really good fit. And then you know Troy, and then taking a look at what he tweeted back in 2016.
I don't remember what that was.
Well, the Steelers' favorite team.
Okay, so he told me, when he was on the sidelines here and we ran into him and I talked to him, we talked a lot of off the record stuff, and I'm not going to relate all that, but he said he had just gotten back from hanging out with the New York Jets, and he said, I would love to go to the New York Jets. I had a blast there. I really like the staff. And then he said, the one that I wouldn't mind going to, though, is the Steelers. And I didn't know that he had said that they were his favorite team. But what he said, I said, well, but, you know, you're used to playing on AstroTurf. What about playing on or turf? What do you think about playing on grass? Because they play at least half of their games, if not more, on grass. And he said, I don't mind getting muddy. So, and he goes, I'm an offensive lineman, man. I don't mind getting muddy.
And I think one underrated piece of the first few days of the draft for the Huskies, Jalen Polk to the Patriots. He's going to have a lot of opportunity, make a splash. And he's a really talented pass catcher. He's going to a place where he's going to get a lot of looks. I think he could win over some hearts in New England. And I really like that pick for them and for Jalen as well.
I think a lot of people had him pegged in the second or third round, but I don't think a lot of people had him pegged that early.
Yeah, I don't think. I thought they were thinking maybe middle of the second round. When did he get picked?
Like third,
pick. Third or fourth pick? Yeah, whatever it was.
In the second round.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, Washington ends up. What did they end up with? Seven in the first three rounds.
Yeah,
seven in the first three rounds, and then they didn't have anything in the fourth round, right?
Nothing in the fourth round.
Or the fifth round?
Two guys
in the fifth, and then two.
Two guys back-to-back in the fifth.
Yeah, and then they haven't had any that we've seen. So.
No. I mean, draft's not over yet, but
no,
it's getting close to
it. Yeah, it's getting close to the end. So
yes, so Devin Kolbczak was over the remaining two
and
guys.
Dylan Johnson. And maybe Thule and Ulumu'ale.
Yeah,
those are two other guys that I think will get a cup of coffee in the NFL at the very least. But at this point in the draft, though, I know it's great to be able to say that you were drafted, but at this point, it's almost better to be a free agent and be able to choose the place you go to and the situation you wind up in.
Jed Fish with a couple guys drafted as well from Arizona.
Yeah, Jordan Morgan, I know, did the wide receiver.
Jacob Cowan.
Cowan got selected, the tight end. McLaughlin got selected while we were interviewing him, right? Isn't that what you were saying? Mm-hmm. So that's three that I know of. I'm sure there was another one or two in there too. So they did a good job of bringing in talent there. I mean, Arizona was bereft of talent when he arrived.
Yeah.
And he has really boosted. He and the staff that he brought with him up to the University of Washington, but he and that staff, when they were down in Arizona, they really increased the talent level of the Wildcat roster.
Yeah, just what we've got left. We've got a practice on Monday. That's the last practice we'll be able to attend. I believe there's practice on Wednesday that is closed to us.
Closed to everybody.
Closed to everybody. And then, again, he says they're going to do a spring game. It's going to be a game on us on Friday night, he also said, you know, they're going to release more things daily, so expect more former Huskies to be announced being here at the game.
My guess is you'll probably see this is just a guess. I'm just throwing it out there. I think it'll be offense, defense. I don't, because there's only really one offensive line with a few backups that are scholarship guys that are healthy. So my guess is that you will see offense versus defense, and the defense will be given scoring options, you know, like holding him without a first down, interception, fumble, sack, pick six, stuff like that that they can score on, and the offense will have their obvious ways of doing it too.
Yeah, and he mentioned the names, I think I said them earlier, Vita Vea, Jake Locker, Danny Shelton, Marcus Peters, and Shaq Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought one of the interesting notes he said was we're going to split up the teams for the captains, but also the offensive line. We've only got 9 guys. They're going to be in their own team, the offensive line team. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. They've only got 9 of them. So, obviously, we're not going to be able to see a full 2 lines of them as we have in all spring. It'll be interesting to see what that offensive line team brings this spring.
Yeah, just some basketball news real quick. Looks like the basketball team got another commitment from KC Mbekwe. He is a center out of Oregon State. He's a transfer portal guy with 2 years. He is 6'11 and 280 pounds. He is a big, big dude. So it looks like they've got Frank Kepnon coming back. It also looks like Wilhelm Bradenbach is going to stay as well. And I'm hearing rumors of another big that could come in as well. So I think they're up to 8 guys on the roster now. So they've still got room for another 5 guys coming in. So Danny Sprinkle and company has been busy. Scott, you don't follow basketball.
I'm not close enough. I've got too much on my plate. Other than that, trying to keep all these portal guys from football and all the high school guys from football, I don't have enough brain power.
Yeah, no, it's Sprinkle and Andy Hill and staff are working through the midnight oil. So go ahead and wrap it up, Scott out, Eklund.
Good scrimmage day today. I would guess they got in over 100 plays in today, and good work. Got some work in when it's not the greatest weather either, so that was good to see. Looking forward to one more practice day and then the spring game on Friday, so it should be interesting.
Wrap it up, Harlan Grady.
Yeah, well, a lot of recruits out for a subpar day on Montlake, and it's beautiful to watch them practice, beautiful to watch them play. You know, everybody loves Washington Huskies. So
you got to go down the tunnel after practice. Have you been down the tunnel before?
Yeah, one time. When I covered the state championship games that were here, I went in the locker room, toured around, stole a pair of Michael Penix's cleats.
You did not.
No, I didn't.
So since you've been doing some stuff with us for a couple of weeks, have you turned into like a mini little rock star and all the high school girls are calling and going,
I was just talking about this with Scott. You know, I got to say one picture at a time because I got to go to class.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Everybody's coming up in the hallways. Are you Harlan Grady from Dogman?
Wait,
it doesn't happen to you.
We didn't tell you about this, but you better get your dad ready. He's going to get a bill. So one more spring ball to go. This has been kind of a grind.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
This has been kind of a grind. You know, if we'd gotten a break after the season, you know, but it's just been nonstop since the end of July.
They hit the ground running. I mean, all the coaches are going to be out on the road. That includes Steve Belichick. Yeah. He'll be out on the road, which honestly, there was part of me that thought he might not. But he's going to be out on the road doing stuff, seeing kids, all that different stuff. So it's going to be real interesting.
Pete Carroll up in the stands today.
Yeah, got mobbed by people, by the way.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, So we had sat down lower, like actually in the stands, like in the regular seats, and then it started to rain, so we moved up top, and Harlan had said, hey, Coach Pete's right over there, and we thought it was
Coach Peterson. Yeah.
And we looked over, oh, no, it's Pete Carroll. He's sitting up there just with one other person, probably his wife. I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
And just sitting up there.
With a blanket.
Next thing we look over, and he has at least 40 people around him getting autographs. Wow. He's trying to move them out of the way so he can watch practice. And eventually he just was like, F that. I'm out of here. So I mean, you got to feel. I mean, I get it. People want a piece of him and all that different stuff. But, you know, he just wants to watch. You know, he doesn't want to be a celebrity. He's here to watch his son coach. That's about it. But
yeah. Anyway, sorry.
It'd be one thing if he was watching somebody down in, let's say he was at down in Arizona, yeah. Right, watching his kid practice. No one would have come up and talked to him. But I mean, Pete Carroll led the most popular team in the city to a world championship. He's gonna for the rest of his time that he's alive, he'll be a legend in this city.
Yeah, he made $9 million a year for several years. He can
deal
with
crying
it.
For he can deal I'm with not it, crying yeah. for him. I'm just saying it'd be nice to just be able to sit and watch.
You know what's funny is if Chris Peterson was here, he could probably throw on some sunglasses and be a little bit more incognito than
a little more
Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
So back at it again on Monday. Are you going to be out here with us on Monday, Harlan?
Yes, sir.
All right. I like the way he calls me sir. Mm-hmm. For all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Scott Eklund and Harlan Grady. Go Dogs.